In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Let us pray. Gracious God, by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, may the written words of these scripture texts be for us your living word this day. Through Christ we pray. Amen. With each passing day before Christmas, the pressure mounts and many of us begin to worry, obsess actually, about shopping. Have we done enough? Have we purchased the right gifts for each person on our list? Will UPS come through and deliver them on time? Are they wrapped beautifully enough? Some people I know with type A personalities, or perhaps spooked by the supply chain delays this year, are so organized and efficient that they have completed their shopping early, online, and are sitting back this evening with a satisfied smile on their faces, looking at the rest of us smugly. You know who you are. A few of us, the ones with nerves of steel, don't start shopping until this morning. When the crowds have thinned, stores are emptier, and the clerks are happy to see them. Most of us are between the two extremes and find ourselves for a month or so spending a lot of time thinking about and worrying about Christmas shopping. Christmas shopping can be bothersome, annoying, stressful, and leave you exhausted and broke. It can also be joyful, deeply satisfying, and lots of fun. And beneath it all is something very important, something essential to our humanness, learning to give. The best gifts I've received reflect something of the giver and were always presented with great excitement and anticipation. Plaster of Paris handprints, a popsicle stick pencil holder I kept on my desk for many years, a Christmas ornament with a second grade picture of my cousin on it, front teeth missing. The favorite Christmas song, The 12 Days of Christmas, celebrates the happiness and myrrh and the pure fun of impractical gifts. A partridge in a pear tree, two turtle doves, three French hens, ladies dancing, lords a-leaping, pipers piping, and 12 drummers drumming. Not a practical gift in there anywhere, but perhaps a deeper wisdom of true love and its wonderfully impractical, extravagant generosity. When the first years of the Common Era dawned some 2,000 years ago, what God's people wanted was consummately practical. They wanted a military and political leader, a charismatic revolutionary who would throw off the yoke of the hated Romans. All they had known was oppression, the utter lack of freedom and dignity and self-determination. They were God's people, after all, and the Roman governor, the officious Roman functionaries, the Roman soldiers walking their streets, bullying, eyeing their women, turning violent at the slightest provocation, these were the most recent of their occupiers and oppressors, stretching all the way back to Babylon 5 centuries before. They wanted a Messiah to come and save them. And by that they meant someone like King David or Judas Maccabeus, whose successful revolt is celebrated by our Jewish friends at Hanukkah. Someone who would rally and organize and attack and push the Romans and their laws and their taxes and their chariots and swords and their arrogance into the sea. They longed for, yearned for, prayed for the Messiah promised by God to come and save them and set them free, literally. And it is the great paradox of our history that when God came, it was not in the way they expected or wanted or prayed for. It was in an infant, a newborn, the essence of weakness and vulnerability, but also the one human reality that that universally calls out of everyone who witnesses it, who participates in it, love, a love that was not there before. You know, there is a sense in which we still want a God who will powerfully intercede in human affairs, to put things right, to bring peace to the world, to establish justice in our nation, to end this pandemic and make us whole. We still, some of us at least, want a practical God, a useful God, a God who is good for something, a divine intervention that will help us with our career, sell our condo, find a parking space, or lead our favorite football team to the Super Bowl. Yes, Packer fans, hope springs eternal. The stunning assertion of Christmas is that God does come to help us, to save us, and set us free, but by different means, by calling love out of us. The stunning assertion of Christmas is that God does come to establish justice in our community, fairness in our social and economic structures, even peace in the world, not by an iron fist, not by imperial fiat, not by a set of rules, but by love, by giving us the gift we truly need, the ability to love and to give and then to do it, to work for justice and fairness and peace. You and me, because we know ourselves to be loved and called to live out that love every day of our lives. The late Langdon Gilkey, who taught theology at the University of Chicago for many years, said, "To be enabled to love is the greatest gift that can be given to us, even more enhancing of the strengths of the self than being loved." We have learned that our fragile grip on life depends on love, a lesson we've learned especially during this pandemic. We know now that infants need human touch, human presence, holding, caressing, cradling, singing as desperately as they need food and drink. Christmas reminds us that as desperately as we need to be loved to survive, we need even more to love and to give in order to be human, more than survival, to be the men and women and children of God that we have been created to be. I am convinced that the only hell there is, Dostoevsky once said, is the inability to love. And that, I believe, is the hell Christ came to save us from. And that is the wholeness, the happiness, the joy, the salvation that God gives us in the birth of this child, which is also God's invitation to us to make it real in our lives. The late Howard Thurman, African-American scholar, minister, and poet, called it the work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. Merry Christmas. Amen.